Am I on? Yes.
We are excited about what's happening here, and we believe that we are here for a purpose, and we believe that things are going to be happening with small groups in this conference, and we believe, because we trust God and all of His promises, that a ministry will open up that will help people to find Jesus Christ and will help people to live longer, healthier, happier, and holier. And we believe that it will spark revivals in some churches, and hopefully it can be in your church. We're really excited. New things are opening up in another church at Cedar Lake, Michigan. Yesterday there were 25 people who went out door to door in groups of teams of two, going from one door to another, and I didn't hear very many reports. I said, you've got to tell me more, but you may hear me say this another time, but what was so exciting, of those 25, one team went out, and there was a lady who's an experienced person going door to door, and she had a young lady who was not experienced, was timid, really, really timid, and they had taken the names of the interest list for those churches in that area, or that church in Cedar Lake area. They had taken those names, and you know, interest list includes if they've gone to a fair and decided they wanted to do something. They wanted something from a fair, from a no-smoking program, or they may have gone to an evangelistic.
Voice of Prophecy, Amazing Facts.
Yeah, all of these. Or had gone to an evangelistic meeting. So they had all of these names, and they were taking, this group of 25 were taking these names. They had divided them and were going out to visit these people. Some people were called in advance. Others did not know that they were coming. And what was interesting, I'll just tell you the story that Pam told me. The first one, which she said that they couldn't find an address. They just couldn't. They were looking, and they just couldn't find this address. And they felt like they're wasting their time. So they decided, Pam decided, we'll just go to any house, just any house. The young lady with her was, oh, no, scared. I don't want to do this. Do you remember when you used to go to in-gathering and how sometimes you were a little bit scared when you went in-gathering or when you did go house to house or give out literature? You know, we would a little timid, and still we are a little bit timid. But anyway, they decided to go to this home that was an unknown. They knocked on the door, and they said to this lady who came to the door, you know, we are looking for such and such dress, and we don't seem to be able to find it. Oh, the lady says, you're on the wrong road. And she was, you know, telling her how to get there. And she says, Pam says, you know, we're going to have small groups in this area and in homes, and it's on health and family. And so we just thought we would see if we could find her and tell her about it. The lady got so excited about it herself, she says, well, I want to go. And she became very, very interested in going. And as a result of a not being able to find an address, another address was approached, which I think are like little miracles. Don't you think so? When God puts things together and we have a little divine appointment, it's a miracle. God put us together. And I'm always excited about the little miracles that God gives us. Well, they may be bigger miracles. And so as a result, that lady is going to be going to a Homes of Hope in that area. And there are more stories coming from there. But I just feel the Lord is coming. You believe the Lord is coming, right? Do you think He's coming soon? Do you think in some places there's already a shaking time taking place? Do you think the Holy Spirit is really working to make change lives? And He's speaking to each one of us. And God, the commission is, go ye into all the world. And part of the world is where you live, right? And as I've said before, anyone can do this. And I said, anyone can do it who can read, right? But I add a little bit. Anyone can do it who can read and is willing. And the willingness, and sometimes we feel uncomfortable about it. But if the Lord wants people to do it, He will help us to have the Christian boldness and to do it. And there's lots of way of doing small group ministry, which includes that you may not be the presenter, and it may not be in your home. But we're going to get back to that in a little bit. So I am praying that God will impress many people in this Mountain View conference to start small groups so that lives will be changed and people will be prepared for the second coming of Jesus. That's kind of my goal.
You know, Millie, I look out on a group. We aren't a lot of people, but I think of what John Wesley said, the founder of the Methodist Church. He said, give me 10 men, and we could add women to this. Give me 10 men or women who know no fear except the fear of God, who hate nothing but sin, and I'll set the world on fire. Wow. 10 men. And I believe, Elder Doc, that if we have even 10 people or 20
right.
people, or better yet, if we had 100 who hate nothing but sin, willing to go where God sends them, fear nothing but God, we can set Mountain View, West Virginia, Maryland, this part of the country, we can set it on fire. The fire that will come from the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And a revival can take place in this conference. And that is our heart's desire. Okay, now we thought we're going to go back to the leadership training with more ideas on how you can start your church doing this. But we're going to go into one of our topics first before we go back to that. And the topic that we have is one that is needed in every church. Appreciation, love and appreciation for church members. We need to appreciate our church members. We need to appreciate our neighbors. We need to appreciate our pastors. We need to appreciate our children, our parents, and that's what we're going to talk about because it's part of the love thing. Okay, thank you. John, would you start, please?
Key to happiness, appreciation. Nick Stanett and John Dufresne, they did a study some years back of what is the secret of strong, healthy families. They found that strong, happy families, they studied thousands and thousands of families. They found that a healthy, strong family, they are spiritual. They found that they are committed to each other. There's a tie that's holding that family together. They found that they spend time together. No substitute for time spent with the family. They found that they appreciate each other. But not only do they appreciate each other, but they tell each other that they appreciate each other. Very important. They communicate effectively, one with another, and they handle crises effectively. Well, there we have 6 secrets to strong, healthy families. Now, we're going to particularly study the appreciation factor, one of those 6 secrets. Millie, you love stories,
don't
you?
I do.
Okay.
I'd love to hear all of your love stories.
I bet there's a lot of interesting love stories out there.
I bet so.
But let's tell you a love story from India.
The story took place in India, and there was an Emperor Shah Jahan who had a sweet, loving wife who was appreciated dearly by him, and not only him, by the subjects in that kingdom.
Her name was Mumtaz.
Her name was Mumtaz. And everyone knew that this couple had something special going between them. And it just so happens that Mumtaz was expecting, and during childbirth, there were complications, and as a result, Mumtaz died. This brought such sadness to Shah Jahan that it was so terrible. He loved her dearly. He appreciated her, and he ended up saying, I want to do something for to show the world how much I love and appreciate my wife. And so he started building a monument for Mumtaz. And it took about 20,000 men, 10 years to do it, jewels and stones,
white
precious
marble
stones
from different parts of the world.
Of the world, that's right. And it took all these people to build this beautiful edifice, which we know as the what? Taj Mahal. Has anybody been there? You have. How neat. Oh, was it beautiful?
Beyond.
Beyond words.
And you know, once a year, a certain date, which happens to be the birthday of Mumtaz, the sun comes directly through a hole in the roof and shines on her tomb where she lies.
Which is really neat. Anyway, you know, you and I, we just really don't have all the money to show love and appreciation to our children and our parents and our wives, our husbands that we would like. But when we speak lovingly and kindly and showing appreciation, it's like these are building blocks that create a lasting Taj Mahal in the lives of our family members. It's by what we say does something special which affects the character and life of our family members. Now, there are a lot of effects of appreciation, and Mumtaz, if she had known what was going to be done for her, she would have been overwhelmed. It would have truly helped her self-worth, wouldn't it, John?
So, appreciation enhances one's self-worth. It makes one feel valued. It improves relationships, and it diminishes anger and hostility, which sometimes creep in.
Okay, let's see. It improves
some other things.
Health and removes anger, renews spiritual and personal growth, promotes the freedom to be all that one can be. And I think the fact that in our lives, my self-worth was when I married John, even though I'd done many things and got many degrees, I still did not feel real good about myself. But the fact that John appreciates me, he values me, he's kind to me, he helps me do the hard things in life, as a result of this, my self-worth has improved, and I feel that I can more powerfully work for the Lord because of a feeling I can do things with God's help and John's help. Anyway.
I feel appreciated too by this wonderful woman that God has given me. Acts and words of appreciation have a healing, bonding, building power. You think you're going to get farther by criticizing somebody or showing them that you appreciate them? The answer is obvious, isn't it? But sometimes we go negative when we push them away, when we need to be a magnet showing appreciation. Look at this little girl. Do you think that this little girl, this daughter, does she know that she's loved? Does she know that she's appreciated? We know this couple. They live in Berrien Springs, Michigan. And I tell you, that little girl has just blossomed out because she knows that people love her.
And she does great things. She has memorized. She has preached in Pioneer Memorial Church in Michigan with, 3,000 people, this little girl. She's powerful. She's loved. She is nurtured. Anyway, so we look for and recognize what is of value in others, and then we share that with others. And I think of John. This is about us. How did I ever marry such an intelligent wife?
Well,
we don't always put our pictures in.
Yes, these were actually my words. I said to Millie, how did I ever marry such an intelligent wife? Of course, I put a little funny and it says, I must be pretty intelligent myself to have made such an intelligent choice. I feel that God did give me a very intelligent wife.
Well, I don't really feel really intelligent, but I sure like hearing it. I like to know that he thinks I am, and maybe it even makes me try to want to be more intelligent. And anyway, hearing...
You know, the miners, diamond miners in South Africa, they spend their working lives going through tons and tons of dirt and rock in order to find a few diamonds. And sometimes we do just the opposite. We sift through the diamonds, seeing if we can find some dirt. It doesn't pay, does it?
And if we look for the good in people, that goes much, much farther. Like this father, he is watching his son who's putting probably lacquer on the little cart that he's made. That son, the father is glowing over, hey, this is, you did this? And, how exciting. And if we just look for the good, the father is looking good for what was happening. But so often what we do is, as parents and grandparents, we want our children and grandchildren to be perfect. We want them to grow in favor with God and man. And we don't want them to do any bad things or embarrass us with what they do. And, and so we often say to them, make some comment like, oh, you shouldn't have done that, or you can do that better. Yeah, now next time do it this way. And children get to the place they feel like, I can't do anything right. I might as well not do anything. But if we can encourage children and say, hey, you made that bed so well, that's a good try. Good try on that arithmetic problem. And I'm really proud of you. You've made this amount of progress. Look for the good, and the children will do far more. And also the same thing with a husband and wife relationship, right?
That's right. And if you're an employer, maybe you only have one employee who mows the lawn or rakes the leaves. But as you express appreciation to them, they'll try to do better yet.
Yeah.
Because you stated that. Tell us the story of Tyree, Millie.
Well, there's Tyree. She was 16-year-old, and it was Christmas time. She had two jobs. She had a real good boss by the name of Shelley. She wanted to get Shelley a Christmas present. But it's already so late. By the time Tyree was working at the Santa Claus stand, and she now wanted to quickly go out and buy Shelley a Christmas present. But when she went out into the mall to where the stores were, she discovered that all the stores were closing already. They were just closing. Everybody's going home for Christmas Eve, and everybody's closing. She said, oh, no, I can't get Shelley a present. But then she saw another store that wasn't closing, and it was Nordstrom's. Have any of you heard of Nordstrom's store? It's an expensive store, and she knew it was expensive. And so she said, oh, no, I that's open, but I only have $15 to spend. And so she said, oh, but I really want to get Shelley a present. And she got the courage, and she went into Nordstrom's store. She went to a clerk. She went to a place where she thought she might buy something. The clerk says, may I help you? And Shelley felt uncomfortable in her little elf suit. She said, oh, no, you can go ahead and wait on somebody else. But the clerk says, no, I want to help you. And so the clerk helped her, and they picked out a number of things. And Shelley says, I've only got $15. And the clerk says, well, we'll find something nice for you. So they found a number of little things, made a little basket. And then the clerk says, oh, I can have it wrapped for you if you would like. Would you like me to wrap it? And, oh, Tyree said, that would really be nice. And a little bit later, the clerk came out with a beautifully wrapped present with beautiful bows and all. And Tyree said, oh, that's beautiful. And then she quickly grabbed it. It wasn't much time. She ran quickly to her boss Shelley, and she gave it to Shelley, and Shelley was overcome and excited, and she said, "Oh, it's so beautiful." Anyway, it made Shelley happy. So the clerk made Tyree happy. Tyree made Shelley happy. There's a chain of events. The story doesn't end there because Tyree decides to write the Nordstrom store. And she wrote a little note and said, "I just want to tell you about this clerk. The name was," and she gave
Stephanie.
The information. Her name is Stephanie, and gave her the information and just wrote a little sweet note. Well, later on, what happened? That clerk was told that she was to be chosen as one of the honored clerks of that store. Oh, this is really great. She then informed Shelley, no, she informed Tyree that the store was about to do this, and they did honor her as one of the top clerk, the top clerk for that
Nordstrom's All-Star Award.
Yes, and then they had a regional award, and she won the regional award as well, and you got $100, a gold pin, all sorts of
picture
honors.
Picture in front of the store,
yeah, all
new
sorts of
business card.
That's right, all these kind of nice things. And the next thing,
Stephanie
was so impressed about all that was happening to her that she couldn't keep it within her, and so she goes to her dad, and she says, "Dad, do you know what happened?" And Stephanie tells him about all of her awards and everything. And what did the father say, John?
Father said, "Stephanie, I'm so proud of you."
You know, that was the greatest reward that Stephanie had ever gotten, more than the $100.
He had never told her in his life that he was proud
of her. And so there are so many people who want to know that they are special. And Stephanie was told by her father that he was really proud of her.
Billy Sunday was a famous evangelist. There was one evangelist, his name was Billy Sunday, and there was an Adventist that they named Billy Saturday. But anyhow, Billy Sunday, famous evangelist back in the 1930s, he advised husbands and said, "Try praising your wife, even if at first it frightens her. Maybe she's not used to hearing that kind of words. She may be taken back, but it's worthwhile."
And so our suggestion is surprise your husband or surprise your wife with just saying something really special and tell them what you really appreciate about them.
You know, Millie and I were holding one of our first marriage seminars in Yosemite National Park. There's an Adventist camp within the boundaries of Yosemite. And so there we were holding this marriage seminar, and we sent the people out and told them, write on this paper individually, husband and wife separately, write 31 things that you appreciate about your spouse. So they, you know, one for every day of the month. And so they were out there writing them, and then we got them together and they began to share. Now they're big redwood trees there, and they were sharing
That's
out
beautiful.
There under the redwood trees in Yosemite National Park. And one of the ladies came in afterwards, and Millie, tell us about this lady.
Well, she felt so loved, and she had heard all these things she hadn't heard her pastor husband say in a long, long time. And she said, "Well, you know, that was so neat hearing him say all those things. It was like eating chocolate candy. You wanted more and more and more." And so, anyway, that was, made her feel good. Now, we have a story that comes all the way from Peru, and there's a father who was a pilot, and he was a business executive, and he was starting a new airline, and there wasn't much money. So what happened?
Well, this story was told to me by the son of that father. He says, money was scarce down in Peru as Dad was starting a new airline. He was connecting the jungle and the Amazon with the capital of Lima. And so they had to count their nickels and save their pennies and dimes. One day, Dad comes in and calls the children, and he says, I want you to know that Mother's birthday is coming up very soon. And even though we're short on money, I've put aside a few dollars, and we're going to buy something special for Mom for her birthday. Well, the great day came, and they just had breakfast, and now Dad says, well, Mom, you know, this isn't just any old day. This is your birthday. And the family wants to give you something to show how much we appreciate you. You're such a wonderful wife. You're such a wonderful mother. And out comes this little package. And Mom, well, she's glowing from ear to ear. And she's almost tears coming into her eyes as she begins to unwrap the package. She gets down there in the middle, and she finds a little bottle of her favorite perfume, expensive perfume. And she's taken back. She's just surprised seeing that beautiful perfume bottle. And then the unexpected happened, Paul told us. He says, Mom, so emotional about this, the bottle slipped through her fingers and shattered in 1,000 pieces on the kitchen floor. The kids gasped in surprise. But Dad, Paul told me, Dad didn't lose a beat. He bent over and he ran his fingers through that spilled perfume and then touched her cheeks and kissed away her tears. Paul says, 50 years have passed since that moment. It was only a few months later that Dad was flying his airplane across the Andes Mountains. Something happened with the motors. The airplane crashed, and Dad was killed. He said, I will never forget, as long as I live, the love and appreciation that my father showed to my mother on that day.
And they said they knew that the father had valued her dearly. Love notes. Children need appreciation expressed to them. And you are grandparents, some of you are grandparents, some of you are parents of little ones. And it is so nice to have an evening where you write notes to every one of your children. They may be at college, or they may be at home, but those love notes mean so much. They are unexpected and mean so much. We had in a seminar, it was a camping seminar that we had on a Pierre Marquette River, and we had all of the parents and children get together, write love notes to each other. And there's one family, there was one little girl, she's about 4 years old, couldn't write, but everybody wrote her note of love. And then the father read all of the love notes that were sent to little Anne. And in the end, when the father finished reading all these love notes, she was very timid and she was twisting her skirt. And finally, when they were all finished, she just took her arms and just threw her arms around her daddy and says, I love you, Daddy, so much. Well, Daddy didn't write all of those notes, but she knew that she was loved by the family. And here, showing expression for things well done, we've all already had one, but when our children do play the piano and just say, hey, you're doing good, keep it up, you've made so much progress since last week, just keep telling the positive things and trying to encourage our little ones along their life's journey.
You know, little Jimmy was 4 years old, And he came into the kitchen from the outer doors.
Okay, this is a different one. It's not quite ready. All right.
It's here.
It's here? Okay.
The picture should be a little different, but we're working on the pictures. The little Jimmy is 4 years old, and he came into the kitchen. His hands were full of tulips of all sizes. Some of them had been pulled up by the roots, and the dirt was falling off onto the floor. Some of them were little short stems, but here he comes with all the tulips. And Mother gasps as she looks at these tulips, and she thought in her head, "Oh, my tulip bed
it's
has
ruined.
Been ruined." But she didn't say that. And little Jimmy, smiling from ear to ear, says, "Mom, I brought these tulips for you." And Mother said, "Oh, thank you, Jimmy." She could clean up the floor afterwards, right, of the mud. And she said, "Thank you so much, Jimmy. That's so nice of you to bring the tulips for Mother."
And Mommy loves the tulips inside and out.
Yeah,
she
later,
said.
Later she said, "Let's leave the rest of the tulips out there in the garden bed, because so the neighbors can enjoy them too."
Sometimes when children give us like a stick of candy, well, I don't chew gum, or they may give you a little lifesaver or something. "Oh, no, thank you, no, thank you, that's all right." But when we do that, we keep the children from being givers. So we want to accept their love gifts and keep on receiving them and teaching them to be givers.
You know,
And I just want to also say, a lot of times people will say, "Oh, that was a good sermon." And you could say, "Well, I didn't say everything I wanted to. It wasn't as good as I wanted to." We can make all sorts of, reasons why it wasn't the best. But what do we say? Just thank you. Or that song was so good. What do we say? "Oh, I could have done a better job." No, just thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But in China, if you give an appreciation, they will always make an excuse. And then they want you to say something.
Then they want to say something about you that's good.
Yeah, that's right. And anyway.
So that's a cultural thing. The Chinese are not used to receiving appreciation. But it's a good habit to know how to give appreciation and also to receive appreciation that other people give us sincerely.
Now, we always like to have some research. Now, is there any research that relates to appreciation? When we show our appreciation, is that good for our health or is it not? How valuable is showing appreciation? What are the effects of appreciation on those who express it? Research focusing on appreciation instead of disagreeable circumstances had a positive effect on heart function. John, you want to share more on that?
Okay. Appreciation is like a boomerang. I saw a young man out here on the lawn. He was throwing a boomerang. And they're great at this down in Australia. And you throw the boomerang out, and what happens?
It comes back.
It will come back to you. Well, that's the way appreciation is. As we throw it out, it comes back to us and brings us joy and happiness. Here are a few more of the medical benefits of showing appreciation. Millie, let's go down
okay,
the next one.
Okay, here are some.
They have people who are appreciated had fewer symptoms of physical illness. They spent more time exercising than people who are not appreciated. They felt better about life in general. They were optimistic about what's going to happen the coming week. It makes a difference in our lives when we express appreciation. And they felt more connected with other people. They felt more loved and cared for by others. They were more likely to build and strengthen a sense of spirituality. All of these things happen when we express appreciation. They engaged in flexible and creative thinking, and they coped better with stress and adversity because they were appreciated. This was in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology in 2003.
So when we show appreciation, it's good for our health. It's good for cardiovascular problems. And this is a part, we say our work is medical missionary. See, the medical comes in very gently, and it's not just all heavy, heavy research. It's there, as well as the spiritual is there, as well as the family is there. All of these are combined, and as a result of this, when small groups get together and talk about these things, they tell their stories and they share, and as a result, there is bonding between each other, and it is safe territory. Now, if you start talking about the mark of the beast and the dragons and the trumpets and all of that, we believe those are to be taught. But sometimes for new people, starting with something very easy, like even appreciation and the value of it and its value on health, why, this is easier. It's the entering wedge which we have been talking about. Ellen White says this, John.
If human beings would open the windows of the soul heavenward, Book Ministry Healing, in appreciation of the divine gifts, a flood of healing virtue would pour in.
Okay.
We need to appreciate each other. I think, Millie, we need to appreciate also what God has done for us.
That's right. So, but let's get back. Where does the healing come in? In appreciation of the divine gifts, all that God has done for us. A flood of what? Healing virtue
or power
would pour in. So there's a healing power when we say thank you. And I am very convinced that people who are ill, if they spent more time rather than thinking about all their aches and pains and all the bad things that are happening to them and, people aren't visiting me and all of this, if they would just be more appreciative. And we've discovered that by showing appreciation, many people who are going through depression and write down what they appreciate, many of these people begin to get over their depression. They open up their windows, they get more sunshine. They start doing more things, nice things for others, and there is healing power in all of them. Now, Jesus also liked to be appreciated. And John, you want to share on...
Think of that story of the 10 lepers. They came running to Jesus, the Bible says. As you know, lepers were untouchables. They couldn't even go into the city. They had to be out in the country. And the Bible says that Jesus, then he said, go present yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says, as they were going, then they were healed. The leprosy was gone. Now, how does the Bible story end? I suppose all 10 came running by his back and said, boy, it's been terrible. We're living with this leprosy, and you don't know how much this means to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Is that what happened? How many came back?
Just one.
Only one
That's
came
right.
back to say thank you.
Yeah.
Now, which would you rather be? The one or the nine? I'd rather be part of the one, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And you know, I have realized the importance of medical care, and I've had so many problems in my life that I am very thankful for any doctor who can make me better in any way. And so I have, like, even at Thanksgiving time, have written to my physicians, and just to say, I want to say thank you for what you have done for me. And I know it seems like I always have a problem. In December, I had this eye had a problem. I could see two of you instead of one of you, two of you. And I had this double vision. And as a result, it was quite a problem. They finally put a prism on my eyeglasses, and then finally I could see only one. And this lasted for 2 months. But the doctors who took care of me, I said to them, I just want to not be like the nine lepers, because it was a Christian doctor. I want to be the one who says thank you. And I think physicians don't only need money, but they need appreciation. Paul in the Bible says on appreciation, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So I think maybe you want to start trying to think, who can you show appreciation to? Even at camp meeting. I mean, there are so many people who have done so much work. Let's just go around and find how many people we can say, hey, I appreciate you. The food in the cafeteria is good. You may not like everything, but, oh, I really like those mashed potatoes. You know, or those salads are so good. I appreciate that we have nice salads here. Or they may be to a musician or to the president or the secretary. Someone, or to someone who's taking care of your kids. Oh, I really appreciate it. When we start showing appreciation, that makes a big difference. Now, we were talking about how it helps us physically and improves our physical and emotional health. Depressed, prescription one is what, John?
Start thinking about others and showing appreciation to someone less fortunate than you are.
I asked one of my students once, just tell me some things you're thankful for. Just want you to be, you know, just tell me something that you're really grateful for. And some different students said things. And finally, one girl who was just sitting back there, she says, well, I'm thankful for my hair. And that was just it. Another one who wasn't saying anything, and she was kind of grumpy about something. Well, I'm thankful for my kidneys. And I said, that's wonderful. And she says, I work in dialysis. And she says, I really am thankful for my kidneys. So we have all something to be thankful for. Another prescription is?
Make a list of things for which you are thankful. Yeah, that, you know, we pray. Sometimes we pray and ask and pray and keep on asking. But sometimes we don't say thank you very much to God. Make a list of the things you're thankful for. Read it daily, add to it often, and express thankfulness to God and to others.
Number three, consciously dwell on pleasant topics and thoughts of appreciation and gratitude. The result will be like healing medicine when we start thinking of all of these good things. That is like a medicine to the body. And number fourth prescription is restore the joy of laughter. Look for the humorous. There is, we have the story of Cousins, who also was the one who became very ill and was told that he wasn't going to live. And he decided, he tried to find out what was the percentage of people who got over his illness. And what happened, John?
Well, here he was. The doctor said, you have a condition of the spine. You're going to die. Set your house in order. There's no hope. And he thought about that a little bit. And he says, well, what are my chances? Finally, the doctor said, well, you have one chance in 500 of getting well. And Norman Cousins says, well, I'm going to be that one. And so he sent out his assistant. He was the editor of the Saturday Review, national magazine. And he said, he sent out his assistant and said, go out and consult the specialists, read the literature, find out what can they do for my situation. A day later, his assistant comes back and says, well, not much that can be done, but I found that there have been some people who get better when they laugh. Oh, you're happy. And vitamin C also helps. All right. Nolan Cousins checked himself out of the hospital, went across the street to a hotel, and he said, bring me in some funny videos, the funniest things you can find. And they brought him in, you know, candid camera, this, that, and the other. And he began watching these, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed. Within 2 weeks, he was getting off his other medications. He kept on laughing, he kept on enjoying life, and this man, who had been at the brink of death, condemned to die by some of the best physicians in the country, he got perfectly well, and he lived 16 more years.
You see, our body has a system set up in it that when we are happy and laugh and are not thinking of stressful things and being concerned about all the problems of life, and we find joy in little things, there are little endorphins that work in the life. And what do the endorphins do? What do they do? What do the endorphins do for us? They are what, John?
Well, you know, endorphin is a word that literally means the morphine within. Some people take morphine to feel good. Your body can produce endorphins that is like a morphine, and it just makes you feel happy. And that comes when you live right, good lifestyle, and when you are thankful.
And this helps the immune system. There's a fighting against the bad things in our lives. And here,
so
this is a story.
Nolan Cousins then wrote a book on this whole thing. Now, it's not just laughter therapy. That's the name he got coined with. But he's actually talking about any positive emotion, whether it's encouragement, whether it's laughter, whether it's thankfulness. All these things literally change the way that the human organism works. And the hospitals of his time were so impressed by his cure that the University of California in Los Angeles, they asked him to help organize a new department in their medical school, in their hospital, which was called the Department of Psychoneuroimmunology. Today, that is a medical discipline based in part upon the experience of Norman Cousins, this great man.
Okay, a challenge to you. Think of some positive actions you can do as a tangible step towards expressing love and appreciation. Now, can you think of something? We're just family here. Can you think of something you can do for someone that right now from this group that will bring joy to them? If something that you can do to show appreciation of some one person, is anybody brave enough to think of something?
The person doesn't have to be in this group.
No, I know. But can you think of something that you could do for someone to show them appreciation? Okay, John.
Could you come up here?
She can't come, John. You go to her, John. You go to her.
I'll go to you. Yeah, okay. You're
just go with your microphone, John. Just go with your microphone.
You can use my microphone. All right.
Deaf.
Okay, she's deaf.
No. You're thinking of someone. I don't know who you're thinking of, Mother.
She wants to show appreciation.
Mother is thinking of somebody. She can't express all of the feelings that she feels in her heart.
But I think
we're
she's
thankful that you are a loving and appreciative person.
And
she says, thank you, thank you.
All the time she's saying, thank you, thank you,
and she's
thank
appreciative
you.
Of her helper who is right
and,
with her right
and
now.
I think that this daughter needs to be thanked a lot also, that God has given this loving mother a loving daughter that is willing to go forward even in tough times.
Okay, she
thank
is her daughter.
Thank you for sharing. Anybody else?
Anyone else who has think of someone they can say thank you to and would like to do something for someone to show them you appreciate them. Anybody? I know you. There's
okay.
one over here to the right, John, here too. Okay. All right.
Okay, we'll let you share in this one.
I just think, if nothing else, if you can just smile at somebody, give someone a hug, you know, take notice of people's facial expressions when you walk by them. because you can almost tell when somebody just needs a hug, maybe ask to pray with them. You know, just take notice. Sometimes people just want to be noticed and they just want someone to listen to them.
Listening to someone shows that you appreciate them, that you're willing to stop and listen to them. Anybody else over here?
We're thankful for Pastor Doc setting up front. He is the minister at our church.
Great.
And we're just so thankful for his shepherd and Anyani, his wife. They're just wonderful shepherds to us at our Weirton church. We really appreciate them.
That's good. And he appreciates them. Anybody else who want to share something? Okay, she does over right here again. He's coming.
Oh, I'd just like to express the word of appreciation to Brother Herb Perrin here, who has, all the years that since we moved to the Spencer area, we've seen him doing one thing after another to bless as many church members as he can, giving out CDs and printed material, and just constantly trying to be a blessing to the church members.
That's great. That's a very neat appreciation. Thank you. There's one over here, if you'd like to come here. Something that you're thankful for. And all of this is helping us to be healthier and happier.
Well, I really appreciate my wife, because whenever I had a heart attack 16 years ago, I said, well, she won't want to marry an old man like me that has a heart attack. Bless her heart. She came down there the hospital I was in. She stayed the church members, and she stayed with me until I got out of the hospital.
Wow.
And I won't forget that.
Amen. Amen. That's great. She's right back there with a smile on her face, knowing you appreciate her. That's wonderful.
I heard this man's story yesterday, and I was terribly impressed by the whole thing. You know, God has healed him. He's healed his heart. Even though he didn't follow everything that the cardiologist said, he didn't go into the surgery and all the rest of the stuff that they wanted to do to him. But here he is, well and healthy 16 years later. And I think a good dosage of love and appreciation has helped you a lot.
It makes a big difference in healing. It really does. We hope that you will think of different people on this campus when you see them on this campground. Go tell them you appreciate them, or give them a little gift, or a token of love, or a hug. That goes a long way. There was one lady who heard this topic, and she said, I'm determined to show my appreciation to as many people as I can. And she would go to this one and say, I appreciate this and this and this and this. Before long, people were giving her shoes, giving her clothes. They were doing loving acts for her. And she was just overwhelmed, just because she was looking and seeing things that she saw that were important. Now, here are, you can write love notes, put love notes into your husband's lunch bag or in the children's lunch bag. You can write a love letter to someone, and that will make them feel good. Your grandchild, the one who needs you the most, love letters are a surprise gift, like flowers or something such as that. And here is a non-birthday a present for children. This father had two bags, and in these bags were all sorts of little tiny gifts, and they opened up, the children opened up their bags, and one of the girls saw a whole, gum, you know, a whole package of gum, and she says, all of this for me? You know, she was so excited about some things just for her, and it wasn't a birthday. And both of them, the girls simultaneously, ran to their daddy and gave him a kiss. It wasn't, this was not a picture that was planned. I mean, it just happened. Anyway, so we can do all sorts of loving things.
A young woman entered a small shop intent on buying some perfume. She had a special purpose. And the shopkeeper eyed her critically, decided that she didn't have very much money, And he took something off the shelf and said, well, here, how about this? She smelled the fragrance. It was nice. But then she paused and she said, well, do you have something better? Well, yes. Surprised, he went back and he brought something else. And he said, here it is, but it costs twice as much. Wow, that was nice too, the fragrance. And that happened about four times. And finally she said, I would like to have a whiff of the finest perfume that you have in the whole store. Well, there was nobody more surprised than the salesman. And he turned around and he looked, and then he went in the back room and he brought out imported perfume, fragrance from the faraway lands of the East. And he said, well, lady, here it is. This is the most exquisite perfume that we know of in the world today. It's here in this alabaster box, but it costs a fortune. And Mary fingered that highly polished alabaster box. Actually, the box looks like this. I took this picture at an archaeological museum. I know what the alabaster flask
picture of the
looks like.
Alabaster.
And Mary fingered that highly polished flask. And then she thought of the price. And it would cost not a few pence. It would cost a year's wages of a working man in those times. Imagine. But she began to unfold her dress, the pleats in her dress, and she brought out the money, coin after coin. 365 pence. One for every day of the year. And as she picked up that highly polished alabaster flask, she was heard to say as she left the store, nothing is too good for the Master. Nothing is too good for the Master. It was only days later when Mary was at the Feast of Simon that suddenly, moved by an inspiration of the moment, she took out that alabaster box, she uncorked it, she opened it up, and she poured that perfume on Jesus' head and on his feet. She hadn't come prepared for the moment, and the only thing that she had to wipe off Jesus' head and his feet was her own long flowing hair. And she said, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. Jesus had cast 7 devils out of Mary, you know. He had saved her from being stoned from adultery. And Mary, now she poured out all of her love for Jesus in one gift. And, you know, some people criticize her. Why wasn't this sold and the money given to the poor? This, that, and the other. But a few days later, as Jesus went down into the dark, dark shadows of his passion and crucifixion, there lingered yet in his heart that one beautiful gift that Mary Magdalene had given to him. Mary, among the last on Friday afternoon to wait at the tomb, the first to the tomb on the day of the resurrection. And so, friends, what are we going to do? Are we going to break open the flask? Are we going to let, as the Bible says, the fragrance fill the house? Let that fragrance fill your house. Let others smell that beautiful perfume. And so Jesus finished the story. And he said there to the skeptics who surrounded him on that occasion, he said, wherever the gospel is told in the whole world, This will also be told of this gift of love and appreciation that this woman has done for me. Yes, the great conquerors of all time, the Alexanders and the Neros and the Napoleons, their monuments have crumbled into the dust. But what this woman did for Jesus will never be forgotten. So friend, go to your home. Open up that perfume. Let it fill the house, your house.
Amen. And here's a prayer for us. Would you like it to say it together?
Father God, you've told us our prayers rise up before your throne as sweet incense. So we believe that our prayer this day can be as fragrant to you as Mary's gift that evening so long ago. Give us grateful hearts for your many blessings and help us to spend more time in our prayers, expressing appreciation and not just asking you for favors. We too want to anoint you with the fragrance of our love and express our caring and appreciation to each family member and other important individuals in our life.
Amen. And may God help you to be a very appreciative person, not only here, but all through the rest of your life. Here we have we want to go back to our time of leadership training. And Pastor Doc is going to pass these out. And what we would like for you to do is to read these over. We're going to give you a few minutes to look at them. We'd like to see if we can get a nucleus of people who want to be to open their homes or to have part in small group ministry. And that part may be just praying. I don't know what God would put on your heart, but we would like for you to fill these out. And some of you don't have a pencil. I know we've got one up here. I don't know. You've got some pencils. Good. And if you could fill these out, we're going to talk a little bit more while you're doing that. And we're going to share a little bit about how to have a Homes of Hope and Health small group training in your own church. And some of you maybe want to get together with your spouse and talk about this. Tomorrow at Sabbath school time, we're going to ask the same question of the congregation who are meeting together. Do you really want to serve the Lord? Do you really want to be a co-worker with Jesus? Do you really want to go to the world in your own area? Do you want to do something for God in a special way with small groups and or other ways? So here we have these for you. And Pastor Doc, maybe let's just quickly, I guess you can read them yourself, but maybe I better take one and we'll read it. I'll just read it. And you can think about it, because there are churches where almost 100% of the churches is involved in small group ministry. And there are different ways, like here you can assign, I am willing to organize and lead out in a prayer group for Homes of Hope. It's only a prayer group. So that may be one way you can help. Our home may be used as a home of hope and health. I am willing to host a home of hope and health in my home. Or I want to learn more about physical, mental, and spiritual and family wellness. If you do, then join a small group where somebody else is leading out and you are learning.
And check that item.
I would like to help with technical electronic support. We've got our guys down here. I hope you will put a check by that. Anyway, we need electronic support people, especially when they are using a PowerPoint and using the DVD projector. Here's another one. I'm willing to present topics in a home. I'm willing to be a hospitality facilitator in a home, one who takes the coats and gets a drink of water, or if there's a refreshments, or hands out papers, or these kinds of things. I'm willing to go door to door to invite people to a home of hope and health. I am willing to help coordinate getting Homes of Hope started. I'm willing to financially contribute to purchasing materials and refreshments. And incidentally, we're selling materials for Homes of Hope and Health Ministry, but we don't get 1 cent from it. Not 1 cent. It just goes to improve the materials, to make them better and better, and to go to different parts of the world with the ministry. I am willing to invite friends, relatives, co-workers to attend a Home of Hope small group. Or, I am willing to plan special events for small groups once every 6 weeks. You need to have to get small groups going, but then you need to get all the small groups together, like in a picnic or a marriage kind of weekend or a Saturday evening or an evangelistic meeting or some other kinds of things, a cooking class, all these kinds of things. And this way, if all the people in the church participate in some way, the whole church could be involved. Everyone could pray. Everyone. There's not a person who would be exempt. I will pray for Small Home of Hope group ministry. Everyone can do something in this ministry. So you check it, and while you're checking it, we're going to pass out something else to you. And this is a little bit more on, and it's on back and front. It's on back and front. And this is how to have a Home of Hope. Yesterday we gave you materials, and if somebody didn't get it, I think we have some left. Yesterday we gave you material how you individually can decide on having a Home of Hope and Health small group in your own home. And it had the decisions that you need to make today. Now this is about doing the church getting involved in a training program. And the next step is getting the conference involved in the Homes of Hope ministry for the whole conference. And that's coming. That's coming. So if you get started early, you are on the cutting edge, and you can start giving reports to President Bogus on what is happening. And so we just hope that you will, or your friends, or someone, you can even start a Home of Hope with two extra people, maybe even one extra person, and then have that one extra person invite someone else. Okay.
Give your report, Pastor Marconi here.
Yes. Yes. All right. Now, I'm going to read this, and you can kind of go with me, and I will comment on it. And if God impresses you to be part of a health and family ministry in your church, then surrender yourself to the Lord. Ask to be used by Him in this sacred work. How many of you want to be used by God in a sacred work? It doesn't have to be Homes of Hope, just any kind of sacred work. How many of you are already involved in sacred work? How many of you want to be? Yeah, I think all of us want God, but sometimes we don't know how to do it. We don't know what to do. So we've prepared materials. And so if you do tell God you want to be involved in a sacred work, and then ask Him to help you to do it. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and guidance. This work cannot be done. It will not be successful if the Holy Spirit is not working with you. It will not work. It go flat. But if the Holy Spirit is working with you, you will see miracles taking place, like the story I gave you of these two ladies go to a home they hadn't intended to go to, and told them about what they were doing. They were looking for a dress for someone who they were going to invite to a small group. And this lady says, well, I want to go to a small group. There were others like that. And another story was of a, uh, uh, they, they went to a home and they knocked. Nobody came to the door. They were leaving, because no one came to the door. And just as they were leaving, a car drives up. Huh, coincidence. Timing perfect. So the car arrives. They go to the car and they say, you know, you had signed a little card that said you were interested in health at the fair. And we're here to tell you we're going to have some small groups, meetings, here in your area, and we'd like to know if you'd like to go. Of course, yes, I want to go. Don't forget me. Make sure you let me know when it is. You know, miracle? Is that a little miracle? God is full of these kinds of things. If we are willing and we ask God to guide us, He will open doors and do extraordinary things. Present small group ministry plan to your church board if you're interested. You first give it to your pastor. Let him know. Next, that goes to the church board, and the church leaders begin to organize a small group ministry committee or team. And then you appoint a leader and team to head up the Church Home of Hope and Health small group ministry. And these people should be spiritual movers. There should be shakers, movers and shakers, have enthusiasm about serving the Lord, have good leadership abilities, have a vision to do small group ministry. And you want to choose those who motivate others with positive people skills and want to spread the gospel message. These people also need to be people who may go with you where something is difficult. Team starts making plans as to how and where small groups can be conducted within the church. And what happens is that what you do...
In the church area.
You look at... Here your church is right here. You look to see what other areas around there. Where are church members? Over here is Brother Jones, Sister Smith is here, and Dr. Thomas is over here. And you try to go in those areas. And if you find people from interest groups that they're a certain place, you try to start a small group in that area. Study the map of the church area. Identify where small groups need to be organized. And pastors or elders, present a powerful sermon on the importance of serving as co-workers with the Lord, and have them introduce the small group ministry in the church service. He may identify different ways that each church member can participate, and so on. And then after the sermon is over, give them these little cards which you have that you're writing on, and help the church members to check, I would like to do this, I'd like to do this. And every church member should check one of those things. And then record on the map where these church areas are, where people want to open up their homes. Team members can call members who are not attending church to see if they would like to participate in the small group.
And many of them do. We've had that experience.
And like in the Clare, Michigan, it was just amazing. People who had not been in church for 25 years, and they were invited to go to a small group, and they were kind of, but then finally said yes, and they decided that they would go, and as a result, they went and were baptized rebaptized in the church, and now they are starting, going back to the church that had offended them, hurt them 25 years ago, and they are now opening up a small group in that church area. Exciting things are happening. Not a coincidence. God is in this. That I know. God is in it. And then check church interest cards. And this is what they're doing. Yesterday there were 25 people in Cedar Lake, Michigan, who are out going home to home, calling people from the interest cards, people who had gone to a cooking class or evangelistic meeting or church sometime, or names were given by call forwarders or, you know, whatever. Church team visits them and invites them to attend a small group that is close to where they live, or ask them to open up their homes. In Michigan, there are many homes that have small groups who are not Adventist, and I just must tell you, a Baptist church. There is one of our leaders there in Michigan. His name is John. And John was at their church, and he was an electrician came in to check on a job, a bed. John starts talking to him and finds out that this man is a Baptist and you know, got some information from him. And then they began to talk about homes. They talked about doctrines. And this man says, I've never learned so much about the Bible in all my Baptist experience. I've learned more in an hour from you than I've heard in my own church. And then John says, well, we can teach you more, and we're having these health and family topics, Homes of Hope. Would you like to come? The next Friday, that man had opened his Baptist home and had invited a Baptist couple, and now more Baptist couples are coming, and more people from the Baptist church are learning about our message just because one person said, was led by the Holy Spirit to talk to a man who was just getting an estimate on a job. Anyway, so exciting things are really happening. And on the back sheet here, to add more individuals to small groups, have church members go door to door inviting them to attend the small group in their area. Have prepared words starting in own comfortable words like, we're going to have I'm your neighbor down the street, and some of our neighbors are getting together, and we just thought maybe you'd like to join us on Wednesday night. We're going to have a group. We're going to talk about health topics and family topics. And if you want to, you as you talk to them, you could have brought them a loaf of bread or some flowers or veggies from the garden, or make friends. We don't have enough Adventist friends. We're too inbred. We need to make friends with other people. Okay, I know the time is marching on, and I'm recruit a prayer ministry team to pray for the small group ministry and individuals conducting them in their home. Some cannot have a small group in their home, but they can pray and invite others to attend a small group. They are participating in this small group ministry. Have a church divide into, the whole church divide into prayer teams of two people praying for the church every day, calling each other and praying
for
the homes of hope in the church and needs of others. Okay. And the goal is to get the whole church involved. Small group leaders send prayer requests to the prayer teams. All prayer for outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the group. Prayers go up and the power comes down. And we're just about ready. Have Homes of Hope and Health Team training sessions for train the leaders of the small groups. And get together afterwards in sessions monthly. And there are other ways of getting people to small groups, like an expo, a survey in the community, cooking classes, smoking classes, invite call forwarders to give you names. There is a film called Forks Over Knives, which is really, really good. And if you'd get that and show it in your church, or our son Wes, in ABC, we have this one that you saw on turning bad genes off and good genes on. You could just invite people to come to listen to that. And after you do that, say, would you like to know more? And let it go into a small group ministry.